www.theatreofthought.org. Next up, actress Barbara Tarbuck. Barbara Tarbuck trained as an actress on a Fulbright grant to the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art. Barbara's acting resume includes stints on the New York stage, regional theaters around the country, many feature films, and hundreds of TV guest starring roles, where she is probably best known for her role as Australian Jane Jacks on General Hospital. Barbara currently wrote and stars in her own one-woman show, Stopping By, based on her own story of scattering her husband's ashes at Burning Man. I talk to Barbara Tarbuck now about life and death and art in the burning sands of the Black Rock Desert. Barbara Tarbuck, welcome to Experience Talks.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Barbie, your new one-woman show playing at the Edgemar Center for the Arts in Santa Monica is called Stopping By. Can you tell us what it's about and what inspired you to create it?
The story is based on truth. It's an elderly woman. I say that because it's what they say in the blurb. I went, oh gosh, I guess that's true. At any rate, whose husband gets ill, has a stroke, and he dies, and she takes his ashes to Burning Man. Now, that's the blurb. And I did this, but and people, my friends would say, you went? Yes, I did. What was so remarkable about the experience, and I write about it, I write about all of the ins and outs, and it took me a fair amount of time to get this all put together, because it's obviously, so much of it is from memory, there's flashbacks, it's not linear at all. I mean, it starts out in the hospital, and myriads of people, I play 18 different characters, you know, that come into it, and by the time the road to recovery or healing, we might say, oddly, interestingly, starts to happen as in the arts community at Burning Man, and it was quite remarkable to go through it and to feel the sharing with thousands and thousands and thousands of people, all so gentle, all so kind, all so open. We've got ourselves so frightened of one another now, and we're actually being provoked to be frightened, you know, that most of the time there really is an innate goodness and sense of common sense about people that really doesn't want to do that. And that was one of the most beautiful things about the experience.
And this was a hugely personal experience for you. Was this difficult to write, and is it difficult to perform?
It was very difficult to write. I wrote it in pieces. I wrote it in fragments. I wrote it in sections. Sometimes I thought, this doesn't work. This can't go together. Well, some of it did and some of it didn't. I mean, I did some tossing and bringing it in and out. But it really, memory plays a great role in it, because we don't think linearly. You know, when you're in a room with somebody, something else is reminded you. Somebody walks by, reminds you of your uncle or your friend or whatever, or you remember something that happened at home. And so there's all of that that I introduced to when finding a road through to this to make it a cohesive show was a struggle. And memorizing it it's absolutely scripted. I do nothing that is improvised. I have a great, great respect for the word. I went to London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art on a Fulbright, where we learned how much the word matters. I mean, we started with Shakespeare, and we cold read all the histories in class, and it was an overseas class. It was there for 11 months, and there were Canadians and Americans and Australians and whatever, English-speaking, South Africans, and we were terrible. We started out, but by the time we finished those histories, we were playing it. We were on the thought, as they would call it. And writing something that I was to perform myself was daunting, because I was so emotionally connected to it. It was impossible not to write it if I didn't. And it was extremely difficult to learn it, because every time I would start, it would take me over. It would I would have so much background going on emotionally in my head that sometimes I would just get lost, couldn't remember the lines, or just got upset or got angry. Or very, very interesting process, you know. It's kind of what and I thought, I don't know if I can't do very many performances. I knew that it would be too hard. I'm getting more and more interested in it, though. We'll see. At any rate, I got to the point where I thought, I don't know if that I can do this. And then I had the first performance of it. This was when it was first started at Atwater Village, in a workshop situation. And it was, people loved it. Young people loved it. People would come up to me and say, oh, my mother did this and I did this, or when my sister was here, or blah, blah, you know, or I've been to Burning Man, or, you know, many, 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 many angles to this story, picking up on it, which made me very, very happy, because it isn't just an older woman's story. Or maybe it is, but we're all going to be there on some level, or know them, or we care about them, and we're all in this together, is the sense that I'm trying to create and tell you about.
You took your husband's ashes to Burning Man. Why Burning Man?
Not all of them, by the way, because I took some back to Death Valley, where we had first vacationed together, because my husband loved the desert. Mm-hmm. And we never got to Burning Man together. My daughter was young, and we thought, it's probably druggy. It's probably, well, wait, we shouldn't. And he would say, but I hear the artwork is amazing and that we really should do it. And he was very, very interested in all of this. He had a PhD in philosophy and taught, and then his father had been an iron worker in Brooklyn years ago, and he had worked with him on some summers, so he was all the installations and the welding, and he knew a lot about all of this stuff. And it was my daughter that actually said, come with me and let's take daddy's ashes. And in the show, I've done some gender bending, because as I was writing it, it was too close to hurt her with those stories so close to life. Now I think she's fine with me saying that, because I changed my daughter to a son in the play and other things. I changed the names. I felt freer. My name is Barbara, but I used my name in the show as Christine, just because I could get some kind of, as an actor, I'm very used to playing roles that other people have written. I mean, I've worked with the best. I mean, I've worked with Pinter, and really with them, and David Mamet and Tennessee Williams and Neil Simon, and, you know, and it made me feel like I kind of wanted to write something, but I thought, no, these guys are so good. They would let me change lines, change words. They're in the book, my stuff. You know, as actors often do, you know, we're not as dumb as we look, no. Anyway.
And this was the first thing you wrote?
No. I actually wrote a children's show a long time ago for the Barter Theater, and it starred Frances Fisher, who was coming to see this. She hasn't seen it yet, but she was an intern there, and she was just so dear, and we just really hit it off. And it was stories of Greek myths that I had put together in kind of a story theater atmosphere, which in the 60s, where I was starting out, everything was story theater for children, and interesting. It's good theater, just to have the physicality go along with it, not talking down to anybody. So that was the first thing, and it was put on PBS a long, long time ago. It'd probably be a way to find it somehow. And then I wrote another show about menopause when I turned 50 that I did at Stages. Paul Verger directed it. Late Paul Verger, was very close to him in Hollywood, and took it on college tours for a bit. But I was too busy. I've done a lot of TV and film and family happily, fortunately, I was busy, so that this is now, at this point, I've got the time, I've got my wonderful pensions, and I can kind of create what I want to create.
How did the experience at Burning Man affect you? It must have been a highly emotional time. What was it like being there during that time? How did it affect you?
First of all, it was extremely quiet, and that surprised me. And then at times it was very, very noisy when the music would start playing. I mean, the contrast of everything in the space was desolate, truly desolate. I say, you know, it's like vast, waterless, alkaline-rich, dust-filled expanse. And it was. And the kooky characters that were with me, my brother and my son's girlfriend and the people that we met, all different kinds. We all were very self-reliant in that we had to bring our own food, but we all shared. People were so generous. They would bring things and offer things, I mean, from everywhere. And they would there were just hundreds of classes and activities. And I mentioned that, you know, I got a look at these beautiful young women coming out with soft silk pants and bare navels, and they were offering belly dancing lessons, and I went, oh, I'm too shy, I'm too alone, I'm too old, I can't join in with people I don't know, and talking and suffering. Well, but I have him with me. He's in a glass jar right here. You know, I mean, that's a little bit in the show about it, but it was true. It was an absolute honest reaction to it. And then there was a woman who I was very drawn to, and it unsettled me how drawn I was to her, and she clearly wanted to spend more time with me, and that was, no, I'm glad she wants to, but I don't think that's what I'm going to do this time. I don't know, it just opened me up, and the most beautiful thing about the whole experience was it's so much like theater. It's so much like I taught an acting class at UCLA Extension for 20 years, actually, a Monday night class, and I would tell them that the beginnings of theater were around a fire at a campsite long, long, long time ago, before there were directors and writers and producers and all of that and agents. It was just somebody would get up and tell a story, and they would dance around. And this is what I felt at Burning Man on that last night when the fire started, and there were thousands and thousands of people, and it put together how ancient and primal and important this kind of gathering and unity is, that we all feel part of this fabric living here on this globe, you know. And the sky, you can see stars. I mean, I was born in Detroit, I lived in New York, I've lived in L.A. It's easier around here to see the stars than in those other two places, and still not easy. But in that desert wasteland, my word, it's extraordinary. They just dance out at you.
It's amazing. We only have a couple of minutes, but how has the audience responded to stopping by, and with it being such a personal story, how has that been for you?
Well, I want to turn that back to you. How did you respond to it?
I loved it. I thought it was an unbelievably unique and cool experience, and it seemed like the audience was riveted from second one.
Yeah, a girlfriend of mine, a really lovely actress, Jenny Harris, said, "You got me from the first word." And I went, and you know, she's tough. We're good friends, and made me very happy. Yeah, it's just really wonderful because that performing it is exhilarating. As hard as it was to write, and as hard as I worked on it, you know, in performing and in learning it, 70 minutes at my age is not easy. Now it's just I can feel everybody's stories coming up in the air. It's all, there's something alive in the world among all of us that I'm really glad I did it.
Barbara Tarbuck, thank you for being on Experience Talks, and continued success with a fantastic show stopping by.
Thank you so much.
To find out more about Barbara Tarbuck and her one-woman show Stopping By, go to experiencetalks.org. Stopping By plays two more Saturdays at the Edgemar Center for the Arts in Santa Monica, so don't miss it. That's our show for today. Experience Talks is produced by the nonprofit Engage, catalyzing the art of active aging. We'd like to thank production guru Stan Mizrahi for all his help with our show. On behalf of the Experience Talks team, remember, age isn't what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens to you.
KPFK, your progressive media outlet, is listener-supported commercial-free radio. But did you know you don't have to wait for the station fund drives to support your favorite radio station? You can donate online at any time. Visit kpfk.org. That's kpfk.org. And we thank you for your support.
KPFK Radio and LA Concert Group present the U.S. debut concert of Chico and the Gypsies on Saturday, June 25th, 2016 at 7 p.m. at the Starlight Bowl Amphitheater in Burbank. Visiting from France, Chico Buchiki and his 15-member group will display a colorful evening of fresh gypsy rumba flamenco mixed with Latin world music genres. Chico is the original co-founder of the original Gypsy Kings, and not to be missed. Oh, with a show with Chico and the Gypsies under the stars at the Starlight Bowl. Tickets and information at kpfk.org or call 323-343-6600. That's 323-343-6600. Special discount code. KPFK listeners may use promotion code KPFK when purchasing and receive a 10% off discount.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7. Halfway.